Okay, thank you. We are back from break. On to item number 5. Revision of board policy, first reading. Are there any questions, Mr. Cox?
No.
Item number 5. Close. Item number 5.
Yes, on transportation, I know we weren't looking at that item. It's, I mean, it wasn't one of the changes. But if we're going to be updating that policy, I just wanted, I know that we have a whole policy on special education. And it's much broader than this, and I would like to refer to that policy instead of it looking like that we're only going to do physical disabilities that create a hazard, because that really doesn't explain what we're doing for children with special needs.
Okay.
So if we can just refer them where else they can look for that information.
Okay. Be happy to.
And then thank you for forwarding me that information. That hadn't been updated since 93, so I know that you were going to look at that.
I think I'd like the recommendation to be for us to pull this right now and look at the whole. We were only thinking about the Walnut Grove when we added this, but you're right, it hasn't been updated since 93, so perhaps we can pull it and bring back to you a complete transportation policy that will be updated.
And then when you're changing the language in the policy, it just to make me feel better is to make it child first, because it said handicapped children, so we could say children with disabilities or children with handicaps. I always like. It's 5A number 1, and it talks about.
Well, she's asking them to maintain.
I sent a PDF to all board members.
This right here.
Transportation policy.
It's not on the agenda, but since it will be agendized in the future, that's just a little pet peeve I have.
I think we should, since we're updating the transportation, and this is the first reading, we should bring back to you a complete transportation policy update.
And then make it people first language.
Well, update the terminology to exchange to 97.
Okay. Thank you. Any other than transportation, Ms. Bull?
That's the only thing I have.
Oh, we're doing all 4 of them?
We're doing three. Well, there's
we're
three.
We're doing all 3?
There's 3. Well, nobody has any comments about any of the others, so. Yep.
I do.
Okay. Well, that's why I'm moving to you. It's your turn.
Well, on the transportation one, I will be voting against it. You know, our transportation costs, we should be eliminating our transportation for those 200 students that we bus in the school district, and put that money into all our schools rather than to continue to subsidize the transportation of 200 kids that can find other ways. On rainy days, they don't get dropped off at a bus stop. On rainy days, they get driven to school. And, you know, just doing some math, if we really want to bus people on that part of the freeway, they can take bus 185, and they can get there at 8:09 in the morning on a 19-minute bus trip for $1.25, which is much cheaper than the $8 that we do per mile in our transportation office for general transportation. I'd rather, if you guys are going to insist on spending money on transportation, let's get them a $1.25 ticket, $2.50 round. There's one that leaves at 3. They can be home in 20 minutes at 3:20, and we would not. That would save us money as well. I'm not going to expand our transportation program, and so I will not be voting for this. So you're going to have to separate it out?
No,
just the
first
reading.
You're going to have to separate it out? Maybe.
Oh, well, and the other thing, too, is we're pulling this to bring back the entire policy.
Well, then we are approving for first reading. That's why he said pulling back, and then he said the first reading.
Yeah, so we're going to pull this.
So that's tabled, then we shouldn't talk about it. But I'm going to vote against it because it's a continual waste of money that can be going into classroom service and to cover some of the $1.2 million we talked about. And there's cheaper ways to do it if we actually did have to spend money on it. And then I also think we're setting up a third, a separate standard for one of our middle schools that we're not applying to any of our others. But non-discrimination, I'll be voting against this. You know, the state legislature just redefined what they meant. And I'm not going to approve a policy that uses words that the legislature can redefine at any time. You know, and that's basically what this is, so we'll go to that. And on three, I just have a question about personal leaves for union services. It would be on 5J. Is there no way, I don't see any language in here that provides for an educational reason or an opportunity for it to be reviewed by the board. Is that correct? Is this the word about reasonable notification?
Can you tell me what paragraph you're on?
At the top, personal leaves. Uh-huh. Upon the request of the new language that's being added.
Oh.
Okay. The question is there...
There's no opportunities for us as a board or to review it or to look at it, or it's just the only notice for the board is that there's no reasonable notification then kids are stuck with a substitute. Is that what I'm reading?
That's my understanding. That is what you're reading. That is what the code says. It does say reasonable. It does not define reasonable number.
Right.
It needs prior notification, and they do have to reimburse us. But there is nothing in the code that requires board approval for those leaves.
And there's no way to add that? There's anything on that?
I could research that and see if that's possible to add that as a legal basis.
Yeah, I mean, there's just some, you know, it just seems odd that, you know, you would send a teacher out of a classroom and not have any say in it. It's just the first. That's it.
Now, with the leave, is FMLA its own policy, or would it be under here too? Family, medical, leave, the federal one?
Yep.
It's not here, so I didn't know if it was its own board policy, because it's also a leave.
Correct, and FMLA is mentioned in other policies, not this particular policy. It's not a separate policy by itself, though.
It's not a separate policy by itself.
Not that I know
okay,
of,
so
but
it's mentioned in other policies.
Let me qualify that. I don't believe it is.
Okay. can you let me know where it is?
Sure.
It might be more appropriate to be here.
Well.
Well,
thank
why,
you.
Why would we approve a board policy, though, that the state makes us do it, but that's a federal law, and if we put a federal law as a board policy, that becomes board policy. Even if it's something
well,
that can
we
be changed.
Well, we can even have a sentence that says FMLA is required by law or is required
well,
by
law.
Law
I mean,
just
you know.
Right, even just to acknowledge it. I didn't see it here, and it is a type of leave, and we seem to be very exhaustive in covering all the leaves, bereavement, personal necessity,
yeah.
Legal. So we don't have to restate the policy, but if we just at least acknowledge it. So I didn't see it here, so that's why I was asking.
Yeah,
I can get back to the board as to where FMLA is mentioned in board policy.
Thank you. Maybe we need to add it. Thank you. Okay, I think that's it. Okay, so who will move this? We are going to pull BP 3541, and we'll bring the whole policy back.
For a first reading.
Okay. And we'll go ahead and accept BP 4030 and AR 416. For a first reading. Who will read that? Who will second it? Okay, all those in favor to accept for first reading BP 4030 and AR 4161.2 and pull and bring back for first reading BP 3541. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
and can we have some explanation meeting on the non-discrimination in employment. We've had extensive conversations about some of the language that's in there and why we changed it. If it has to be worded that way.
The gender expression does, yeah. That was approved by Jerry Brown and the legislature back in January for 2012. Yeah, gender expression, what was the other one?
Gender identity.
Yeah, gender identity. Which means I don't know what gender means in. So they keep changing gender expression.
I believe Mr. Spence just answered the question.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. All right, we are moving on to item. Item number 19. Turn that over to Ms. Kaplan and Dr.
Copeland. Okay, well, we're asking the board to approve the implementation of a public agency retirement services PARS, which is designed as supplementary retirement plan. This plan was designed as a retirement incentive that encouraged senior certificated non-management employees to retire early. The goal of the program was to generate savings for increasing the number of retirements in the 2012-13 school year. This benefit did encourage 15 eligible employees to enroll in the plan, and a list of those employees and their tendered resignation is attached to this agenda item. So we're asking you to implement the plan and accept the resignation of the listed employees.
Okay. Any discussion, Mr. Cox? Ms. Belos?
I will be voting no. We had a criteria set forward on what we needed to reach before we would accept this. That criteria was not met. And so that is the reason I'll be voting no on this particular item.
Ms. Shoemaker?
I will be voting yes on this. There's a number of names that I recognize and will be sorry to leave. Many of my former teachers are on this list, which is a little different because it used to be I went on to campus and saw all my old teachers, and more of them are gone now. But I believe that this provides a benefit to the district, and that is why I will be voting yes.
Mr. Spence? Sorry. Okay. Who will move this? Who will second it? Okay, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed?
Nay.
Okay, motion is carried 3-2. Item number 20.
Okay. Make sure I'm on the right one. On February 12th, we had a public hearing regarding the renewal of CAVA Los Angeles petition for the 2013 through 2018. And tonight we're bringing forward an action item to approve the charter petition and the MOU for CAVA Los Angeles. In accordance with the educational law, a code, CAVA has met the requirement for charter renewal. In addition to recommending the renewal of the petition, we're recommending the attached accompanying MOU. The district and CAVA has looked at the pre-existing MOU that we had with CAVA, and we're mutually agreeing to the following modification, which is the elimination of two instructional advisors, specialist positions, because they are no longer needed by CAVA.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that we are going to lose positions as a result of this contract, and that's too bad. And also that we are making some continuing on with the supervisorial oversight costs, and we have been given a schedule of the revenues over the last 7 years they've been with us. The two positions, as well as the oversight, has generated almost $6.5 million in extra revenue as a result from CAVA. But our board policies have indicated that our costs are not to exceed this 3%. But you know, for the last several years, I've been asking to find out exactly what our costs are, especially with respect to CAVA and the oversight costs and the administrative allocations that are done. And I've been continually told that we don't have the ability to give that information. So I'm quite concerned that perhaps, I don't know whether or not we are providing sufficient services to the charter school as indicated by the types of revenues that we have. I mean, $1 million a year provides a tremendous amount of service. They don't use our facilities, so it's certainly not facilities costs and overhead in that capacity. So I just hope at some point in time we have some better means of, I know we don't have any kind of specific cost allocation, cost accounting type system that can give us that, but I do know that we have split employees with different responsibilities. They're funded through different mechanisms throughout this district, and we should be able to provide a better understanding of the actual cost of the services that we provide, and I hope that we are providing at least $1 million worth of services on an annual basis to this program. Thank you.
Mr. Spence.
Well, I will echo a little bit of Mr. Cox's comments in that, I would like to know, I mean, state law actually says that you can charge up to 3% as long as it does not go over your actual costs. And that's very convenient that we can't figure out what our actual costs are, at least based on what staff has told us in before. We didn't have a new business manager since those days, and I don't know if it is possible to tell us what our actual costs are in oversight. It's funny because we approve all these policies and everybody says, oh, Mike, you have to vote for it because it's state law, state law, state law, and then here's a state law, and we have no way of complying with it, even though we can find out the cost of everything else when we charge it back to this federal fund or that fund or this and that. You know, we're able to figure it out. So I'd like to know what the actual costs of oversight are for our charter schools, and if there's stuff that we aren't doing, because with CAVA it is a little different because it's a virtual academy. It's not like you're doing site visits at people's homes or going over there. And I don't know if we've audited all their special education applications or not. But, we aren't doing the same kind of oversight that we have at a school that's closer. I mean, it's, there wouldn't be that kind of stuff. So, I would like to find some way that we can find out what the actual costs are and make sure we're complying with the state law.
Thank you. Ms. Shoemaker?
The only clarification I would make to the previous statement is that when we did special education audits of San Jose, at the time Edison Academy, they were a dependent charter school versus an independent charter school, which leaves us with different rights and responsibilities in terms of our management of it. Other than that, I'll move to approve the renewal of CAVA at Los Angeles.
And we do need to be thankful to K-12 that takes care of the deficit that CAVA LA.
Yes, we should be thankful for them instead of previous charter schools that only talked about how they needed to generate more profit because 25% was enough.
Okay. You covered in your intro, Ms. Kaplan, it sounded like CAVA had said they felt they didn't need these two positions and it's the district's agreements
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because it wasn't in our description, so I was wondering what was the district's opinion?
We use those positions heavily, but they are not. They have not been used to support CAVA.
Okay.
So we agree with them that they should be taken out.
Okay. So how are we going to then fund the positions in our district? Because you said we're using them heavily, but they're.
I think when we come back with our budget for you, it will be part of the deficit study that we have. And currently, right now, we're waiting for the final budget from our governor. And depending on which way they go, we will be bringing different numbers to you in terms of what our actual deficit spending, and what we need to do to make recommendations to you of things that, that need to happen differently in the district.
What's common enrollment? I'm sorry, I'm missing that right now. I'm not on the board anymore, so I don't remember.
What's common enrollment?
Thank you.
Huh?
What?
4,220.
Okay, well, if you can get up to 6,000, 7,000, you know, then we can keep some of these. We probably do that. At 3% oversight,
huh?
Right?
We'll be close to 5,000 next year.
Yeah, I know. Oh, it has been. Now, is this renewal for both or just the CAVA LA or the high school? Because we did the high school last year.
Right.
Okay, so they're on a separate track.
Okay, so it has been moved by Ms. Shoemaker. Who will second it? Okay. All those in favor to approve the renewal of the charter and memorandum of understanding for the California Virtual Academy at Los Angeles for the term 2013 through 2018. All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? Carried 5-0. Okay, we are to the Board of Education discussion. Any discussion?
Yes,
Ms. Poulos.
When I was looking at all of the great information we got on the financial statement, I know that we're incurring more costs on special ed as we're taking more students back. And we're supposed to, because we'll be able to keep that fund, pay less. I would like to see a report if we've saved anything yet, and if we expect savings, when do we expect to see them? Because I see the costs at this point, but I haven't seen any savings reflected, so if we can have a report on that.
Okay. Do you want a report in public, or do you want a backup?
It doesn't matter to me. I would just like, because I saw in the reports we've got that I was reading, that I could see the expenses that we were incurring, but I couldn't see the savings, and they might be in there.
Okay.
But I wasn't able to actually look at that as a line item.
We actually were going to do another update for the board on the take back at our next meeting, so we'll include that information in that.
Yeah, well, wasn't there a timeline, though, on some of the revenue? Is there a timeline on some of the revenue stuff? Before, I mean, do we have to spend money and then get the money?
Well, in many of the cases, the revenue's been reduced, but on that restricted money, yes, if you don't spend the revenue, if you don't spend it, you're going to lose the revenue. Is that your question?
No. They don't give us money up front to pay for services.
We're paying
right.
The SELPA less.
We're paying this, okay.
So, and but we are paying for some service. We're paying.
We're up front.
We've incurred more costs. So I'd like to see where.
Okay.
I
hear what you're saying.
Saving any money. We may not be doing it today, but maybe 3 years down the line, we're really going to see that. So.
Well, I don't know if it's on.
I hear what you're saying. I think what you're seeing is incurred cost to prepare for the programs that are coming back next year, but you're not seeing the savings that they're going to generate. So you want to see more of a budget. And
yeah, but my question is, not that I don't think it's it, but if there's a time lag, though. I mean, we do all this stuff to get the services and some of our roles. We don't suddenly get all the money, you know, the revenue that, you know, over a period of time that would pay for that, right? So, I mean, we're up front of the cost of some of it, right? Yeah.
That's true. Basically, we are hiring staff right now. We have to pay upfront.
Yeah.
And the 12/13 self-allocation will not come till about September.
Right. Yeah. Coming into effect.
Yeah. I was just like, because I saw the expenses as line items. Like, we've incurred these costs because. So I would just like to know
okay.
Where we are.
Yeah.
And I know it could be over time.
Yeah.
We will present that for you next time.
I wanted to thank the staff, Dr. Poglin. Thank you very much for doing the report on the filled usage. Thank you very much for being thorough. I know I really appreciate that, and thank you also for the second interim report. Thank you very much.
I appreciate that
because that was my
that's a good school board. Right
add
there.
To the agenda. I wanted to thank you for that.
That's a sign of a good school board.
Okay.
45 minutes on the
yeah.
Your staff.
Because it was such a good report, we didn't have questions. Okay, dates to remember. March 14th, open house, Edgewood High School. March 19th, open house, West Covina High School. March 20th, Open House Merlinda. March 21st, Open House Cameron. March 25th through 29th, it is spring break. Schools and district offices will be closed. March 27th, Open House San Jose Charter. April 3rd, Open House Edgewood Middle School. April 4th, Open House Coronado High School. April 9th is our next Board of Education meeting. There being no further business to come before the Board of Education, the regular meeting of March 12th, 2013 is adjourned at 9:28 p.m. Thank you.